You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get the people.
Yes, they want. Jalen, we have some juicy NBA news involving a player that we've been discussing for years as a potential trade. Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz, after moving Rudy Gobert, wasn't clear whether or not he was available. Were they going to build around him? What were they going to do? Well, guess what? Danny Ainge is in the building. And he is saying that he is now listening. He's picking up his phone. He's getting text messages. He's listening to potential offers for those that want to acquire Mr. Mitchell for their team. What does this news tell you about the Jazz? And where do you think Mitchell could end up?
So, first and foremost, David Jacoby, good afternoon, my brother. And
good afternoon.
Donovan Mitchell has proven to be an elite playoff performer, an all NBA caliber talent, the best player on a playoff team, the Utah Jazz, under Danny Ainge now, is considering trading him. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Utah Jazz, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they know what I know. There's a prospect coming out in the draft in 2023. His name is Victor. He plays in the EuroLeague, and he's French. Here's what I'll tell you. He's 7'3", a 7'9" wingspan, 9'7" standing reach. Teams that feel like they don't have a necessary chance to win it all next year are already tanking for him. Hey, they already fam, you know I'm in Vegas right now.
I'm gonna try something.
Okay.
This is gonna be difficult. Okay. I'm gonna try his last name. Victor Wambayama. I'm going Wambayama.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. It's like Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's gonna take us a couple years to get up to it.
Wambayama. There you go.
Close.
But here's the thing. I know how much you love Chet, for example.
I do love Chet.
When he played against Holmgren, 2 years younger, ate his food. So T started to say, including the Oklahoma City Thunder, we want to position ourselves for this guy. So when you see Utah making moves like this, when you see them fielding trade offers from Donovan Mitchell, it ain't necessarily about a player that's currently in the league.
Interesting.
It's teams already position themselves to tank. That's why at the owners' meetings in Las Vegas over the past couple of days, they made sure that they're trying to institute a play-in tournament. This is exactly why it won't happen this season, but next year, that's why it'll be a play-in tournament after Thanksgiving. To make sure teams find a way to play the 82-game schedule with integrity. But for now, everybody trying to get Victor.
Everybody trying to get Victor,
including the Utah Jazz. So well, do not be surprised if Donovan Mitchell is moved.
If you look at the Jazz without Gobert and Mitchell, you've got Bogdanovich, you've got Conley, Jordan Clarkson. Like, I expect everybody to be on the table because it seems like they're going full bottom-out tanking, which Danny Ainge has done before. Now, when I saw this news, one thing came to mind as a Die Easy Knicks fan. Don't do it, Knicks. Do not do it, Knicks. We do not need a backcourt of Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell making tons of money and R.J. Barrett. See where it says easy if it costs R.J. right there? Do not do that, Knicks. Knicks, do not do it, okay? I know you got Scott Perry's number. Please text him. You get to Leon Rose, whatever you have to do. Do not do this, New York Knicks. Now, there's a lot of GMs making a lot of phone calls, but one of the things I've always admired about you is your ability to sort of like understand the process. So we're gonna talk to somebody named GM Jalen. So, GM Jalen, you are the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant has requested a trade, and I'm going to be the GM of another team. Oh, Mr. Rose, is that you? You didn't say hello.
What up, though?
Okay. Oh, it is you. Great. Got that Detroit greeting. Now, Mr. Rose, I know that Kevin Durant requested a trade. It's David Jacoby here of the Toronto Raptors. I have a trade proposal for you that you're going to love, Mr. Rose. You're going to love. Take a look at what I have on the table for you. Are you familiar with Scotty Barnes?
Yes.
Tons of potential.
Scotty
Barnes.
Tons of potential. Rookie of the year. Love the young fella.
And then, Pascal Siakam. All-star. Great potential. And not just Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam. I'm also going to throw in two first-round picks for Kevin Durant. What do you say, GM Jalen?
I say good morning. Thank you for calling, David. Good afternoon. Great talking to you, David.
Good night.
And tonight, when I text you back, I'll say, I'm not going to be able to do it.
No.
So let me get this right. You're going to give me Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
Okay. Who, by the way, is a terrific, like, undersized 5'4" in the Eastern Conference.
That's what I'm saying.
Has a championship pedigree. Has done a terrific job of developing his game in Toronto. And Scotty Barnes, who, like, has the potential to be a defensive player of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Multi-time All-Star.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Did either one of them make the All-Star game last year?
Well, not last year.
Got it. See, I need a player that was in this past All-Star game, and then I need that same player to be in the next five.
Scotty Barnes.
So, can you guarantee me that Scotty Barnes is going to be in the next five All-Stars in the East?
It's almost as good as a guarantee. I can't control injuries, but if you give this man the opportunity, he will be in the All-Star game, perennial All-Star for years to come.
Masai Ujiri, who you just saw a picture, is my favorite GM in the league. But I'm sending him the voicemail on this, fam. You gotta go to voicemail, dog. You gotta come correct. Call one of your buddies and hit me back.
Guess what? Tomorrow, GM Jalen, I'll be the general manager of another team and I'll make another proposal. And something tells me it might end the same way. But while we're discussing Kevin Durant, we have to discuss his legacy. This is something that you love to talk about, Jalen. Him moving teams. You don't want to see him in four different uniforms. Like, you love legacy talk. And there's been so much discussion of his legacy and the moves that he's made going from the Thunder to the Warriors. And he went to Twitter and he asked Twitter, did you add to your legacy today? And then he started responding to people. Someone emptied the dishwasher. Great leadership. Someone else drank 4.5 cups of coffee. That's not enough. Legacy points deducted. So he's having fun on Twitter with his legacy. So what do you think about him playing on Twitter about it? And also, like, what do you think about his legacy? Like, is going to another team going to affect the way you view him in his career?
Well, his overall legacy is going to have him be one of the top 20 NBA players of all time.
All time.
An elite scorer who flirted with 50, 40, 90 and revolutionized in a lot of ways what you expect from a 6'11 player who's a knockdown shooter who can get his own shot off the dribble. Like, he's literally iceberg slim shooting trays from the suburbs. He's that deal. But here's what I'll say. The one thing about hopping on Twitter and responding to people, that means you're listening. And the one thing about KD his entire career, whether it was burner accounts when he was talking about Russell Westbrook, whether he was talking about the Oklahoma City franchise, it don't matter how he replies. You know that he's listening. Mm-hmm. And for the fact that he's listening, it lets you know something that I've always said. Championship rings, they don't always buy happiness for a lifetime. When I see Scottie Pippen, I see a player that's a six-time champion, one of the top 50 players of all time. And you know what the public does? They disrespect my guy by calling him Robin. Like, just disrespect him for so many years, to the point where when The Last Dance comes out, he can't even enjoy it. So let's talk KD. When you leave OKC, when you leave to go to the Golden State Warriors and y'all win championships, it's one thing to wear those rings. But unlike LeBron, LeBron went back to Cleveland, and as an all-time great player, he delivered because he knew everybody was going to call him a ring chaser. You know why? When he went to Miami to join D-Wade and Chris Bosh, that's what he was. You know that, right?
What's wrong with being a ring chaser?
And I'm not saying that if I'm LeBron or KD at that point in my career, I understand why a great player wants to take championships off the table when it comes to the conversation for their all-time great legacy. But LeBron also knew that I need to go back and win one in Cleveland, which basically equals, if not eclipses, the two he won in Miami. They didn't get not five, not six, not seven, but they did get two. So let's talk about KD. When you go to the Warriors and everybody acknowledges that you joined a 73-win team, and yes, you were the best player on two teams that won the championship. He knows with Kyrie, and you know, he still has to go somewhere else and be that dude to validate his, not yours, not mine, not somebody on Twitter washing dishes, not somebody on Twitter that's washing their car. His all-time great legacy. So you team up with Kyrie Irving, and both of you guys are going to show, I can win without the Warriors, I can win without LeBron James. As a matter of fact, we're going to get James Harden to come join us. So now when that doesn't work, KD the entire season goes back and forth with people about how he's not really affected about the noise when he's really affected about the noise. And so now when people are talking about his legacy conversation, he knows depending on where he goes, people are going to say he had to hitch his boat or he had to hitch his game to somebody else's in order to be all-time great, in particular a champion. So he knows that this conversation is going to be had. That's why he's getting in front of it right now.
Well, Jalen, you say he's listening. So Kevin Durant, I have a message for you. Chase all the rings. Go to 17 different teams. I'm not like Jalen. I want to see you in all the uniforms. You can play with LeBron and AD. You can play with Jimmy Buckets. You can play with Chris Paul again. Join whatever team you want. Make yourself happy. Whatever it takes to make you happy, you do that. Your legacy is cemented. As Jalen started at the very beginning, you're a top 20 player that ever played basketball. It's time for Sophomore for Boss Move. Jalen, you and I are old and washed up now, but we used to go to nightclubs. I used to go to nightclubs a lot here in New York City. I stay out late, like
take
the sun
a nap
would be up when I would get
out.
Home. And I'm washed up, I got kids now. But Jalen Rose, we have video of Devin Booker in the club, in the tub in the club. In the tub, in the club. Now, I'm not even convinced this is Devin Booker, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not 100% convinced that's even Devin Booker. But Mr. Rose, sophomore boss move, in the tub, in the club.
So, to begin this summer, I saw that his ex, I believe Kylie Jenner, you know, sometimes I get the
Kardashians. Kendall. Go Kendall.
Yeah. By the way, the Kardashians and Jenners have the best scouting departments in the history of professional sports. You look back at the lineage of people that they've dated, like you have Hall of Famers. With that being said, I heard that she wanted to have her own flex summer, which means they may or may not be together. I don't know. So for him, it looks like he's living his best life as a free agent. That's what free agency off the court looks like. He got his phone in his hand. He's relaxed. He's chilling. And he's trying to see which one of those ladies is going to provide the water. Who's going to provide the water?
Jalen,
is it
I
the
love
green dress? Is it the pink dress? Like, who's going to provide the water?
So, Jalen, I love this video of Devin Booker in the club. However, it cannot hold a candle to my guy, the Stretch Mark 5. Nikola Jokic, remember him from yesterday? The Nikola, yes, here it is. See, he's not wearing a shirt. He's not in the hot tub. He's dancing around a fire. Like, this looks like some sort of party ritual, some Serbian party ritual. And right here is when he goes up on one foot. I love this move so much. Shout. to Nikola Jokic.
All this is somebody who may be happy in their relationship and secure with their current partner, and somebody else that's a free agent. That guy right there ain't a free agent. LeBron James may play with Bronny in a couple of years. Will he play with Kyrie? Stay tuned. Jalen and Jacoby after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Coming to you live from the Seaport, New York City, and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, I'm going to need your expertise. I'm going to need you to translate something. I need you to translate LeBron James to English, because I don't understand this. Me laughing when I see negativity around trying to derail me from happiness. What is he talking about? The Russell Westbrook stuff? Is he talking about AD? Is he talking about not making the playoffs? Is he talking about KD? Is he talking about Kyrie? What, translate for me, Mr. Rose.
He's talking about one thing, and you came to the perfect person to get the answer. He's talking about his haircut and his hairline right there.
That's
all he's focused on. He posts that picture because he feel like he got a crisp cut.
That's all that is.
It took him a while to come up with that caption. Like, newsflash, nobody's rooting against LeBron James. People have already elevated him to being not only the greatest player in some people's minds, but one of the greatest players of all time. And while he's won a championship and delivered in LA, let's not ignore the fact that they got bounced in the first round 1 year and didn't make the playoffs this year. Those are facts. Mm-hmm. He's still playing at an elite level, however, but do you have the Lakers winning it all this year?
No. Remember when he tweeted during the playoffs? He was like, I'm never missing the playoffs again. I looked at the Lakers roster. I was like, I don't know. That's not a guarantee, Mr. James.
So what he's talking about, other than having a fresh cut and a dope watch and a fly fit, what he's really saying is, I know we're not the favorites, so everybody get used to it. He's doing what David Jacoby always talks about.
Yes.
He's lowering expectations.
Always want to lower
That's
expectations.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Well, you make a couple great points. Number one, when people post pictures on Instagram, most of the time, no matter what the caption says, what they're really saying is, I like the way I look today.
Correct.
Okay?
That's all that is. Correct.
And number two, I was really interested in when he tweeted that he's never going to miss the playoffs again, because I'm going to rattle off some Western Conference teams. You tell me whether or not the Lakers would beat them in a seven-game series.
Okay.
Golden State Warriors?
Nope.
Los Angeles Clippers?
No.
A healthy Denver Nuggets?
No.
Mavericks?
No.
So now we're already getting down to that number five spot, that number six spot, and then you're flirting with the play-in, and then if you're in the play-in, maybe you have a bad game,
and you might be derailed
from your happiness right out of the playoffs.
You didn't even name, like, my home run sleeper for somebody who's looking for an NBA team that doesn't have one. Join the New Orleans Pelicans bandwagon.
And the Memphis Grizzlies as well.
And
one thing
Memphis.
We always do here on Jalen and Jacoby is omit some teams when we make lists. That's one thing that we are very solid at here.
So LeBron is just telling everybody, I love my fit. I love my cut. Lower expectations. I see all the negativity around trying to derail me from happiness. In other words, if I ball and we make it to the second round, that's a success.
Huge success.
That's a success.
Great. Throw a parade. throw a parade. Jalen, Rob Gronkowski, great, just a legend on the field and off the field, and he attended an event called Boats, Bottles, and Bros in Boston, and he was asked about his future playing football.
I'm done with football. Love the game. Love the game, and definitely blessed with all the opportunities the game of football has given me, and the relationships I've met. Obviously here in New England for 9 seasons and down in Tampa for 2. Done with football and stepping my feet into the business world, the business ventures, and just seeing what's out there and where I can, find my place. I would obviously answer the greatest quarterback of all times and ask him how he's doing and tell him I'm doing good, but I wouldn't go back to football now.
Jalen, he's retired and unretired before. Tom Brady has retired and unretired in the past, 6 months. Do you think Rob Gronkowski is really done playing football?
And I haven't played in 15 years, and I never retired. Here's what I'll tell you. He's done playing football. And I was making sure that I listened to all of the buzzwords, the cue words, and his body language. And here's the thing that I heard that confirms for me that he's done. He sounds like the athlete that now wants to prove to himself that he can be something special outside of football. See, that's what I was listening for.
The business ventures.
I was listening for that. Because at some point, that's what you tell the mirror, that's what the people around you tell you, and then when you go back to play, that's almost an admission that you're not ready to do what comes with being a retired athlete. And so hearing him speak reminded me that I believe he's officially done with football. He now realizes that I can make as much money, if not more, I can be as happy, if not more, without being hit, without going to meetings, without playing football. I believe he's done playing.
One thing I always find so interesting about the life cycle of a professional athlete is they retire at 35. And you got to figure out something to do for the next 50 years. And someone tells me Rob Gronkowski will have some fun in that half century. We'll be back with more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. The Summer League continues on the ESPN family of networks. This triple header is what we have for you this Wednesday evening. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose. Brittany Griner is still detained in Russia.
For way too long, wrongfully detained, 146 days. It's not a fad, it's not fashionable. We here at Jalen and Jacoby will acknowledge her every day, and we wish her a speedy, safe return to the United States.
Jalen, look at Dak teaching everybody the Dak dance. Look at the Dak dance.
Lean
Give
back.
It to the kids.
Lean back. That's just lean back at the waist. Lean
I love
back.
The Dak dance.
Lean back. Lean back.
I can't lie. When I saw this morning, I was Dak dancing all over the crib. I was Dak dancing over the crib, trying to teach my kids the Dak dance. The Dak dance can really catch on. I
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Teach us some young future quarterbacks.
We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN 2, 4 p.m.
Appreciate
Make sure you check
the
out
the love. Pub. Get the people what they want.
We always have to get the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen, I want to talk to you about something. You've always got a good mind for the NBA and how it works and the schedule and the travel and the calendar. I can't wrap my head around the midseason tournament, right? Like, is it regular season games that count toward tournament wins? What do you win if you win the midseason tournament? Do you get a playoff advantage? Do you get money? Why do we even have a midseason tournament? I understand the plan. Guess what? Plan's in. We get it. Done. What is the midseason tournament? How would you structure it? And do you think it's a thing?
So the beautiful thing about the NBA is that first with David Stern, now under Adam Silver, it has done an amazing job of becoming a global international sport. Obviously, in the world, it doesn't usurp soccer in its popularity. And in the United States, it doesn't usurp, in theory, the NFL, because say 100 of the most viewed television programs in the United States happened last year, I would say 85 of them featured football. in the NFL. So football, for viewing pleasure, is king. So you ask why, and this is gonna get to the answer to your question. Number one, we just love football. Two, it's not oversaturated because each team literally plays, in theory, once a week. And it's only 17 weeks. There's a culmination of a Super Bowl, and the important elephant in the room for football is that we all betting.
Gambling.
We all betting on football. It's like the NCAA tournament all season.
So, Jalen, quick question just from my psychology. I know way more about the NBA. I know way more about what team should beat what team in NBA games than I do football games, but I gamble way more on football games. Why is that?
Because they only happen once a week. NBA games happen so very frequent. Even if you were playing fantasy, it becomes like, I've played fantasy football for the last 10 to 15 years. I've never played fantasy basketball. Not one time. I never even tried to play because of the frequency of that. So, in theory, this is what makes football king for the regular season. So if you're the NBA, how do we make our regular season more attractive? Knowing that players do not take pride anymore, also teams don't take pride anymore, and having their top players play 82 games. Your favorite player does not take pride in playing all 82 games anymore. So how can we make this regular season schedule more attractive? And here's the nugget I want to give you. Because NBA players are way more popular than NFL players. Mm-hmm. I hate to break it to y'all. You can look at the Forbes list. You can look at commercials. You can look at social media follows and likes. Like NBA Twitter and NBA players, their popularity individual usurps football players, and it's not even close. It's not even close. Like, I might have more Instagram followers than Aaron Rodgers. You see what I'm saying? It's not even close. So now, let me tell you what the in-season tournament is designed to do. Number one, is designed to elevate the regular season viewing experience for television partners for a long season. But it's also designed to reinvest the players to get them excited about the dog days. And here's when the in-season tournament would happen. It would happen after Thanksgiving, before Christmas. Like that early week in December, when usually people start to like focus more on the NBA for Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get people to focus on the NBA earlier in the calendar. So that's what this is designed to do. The other thing it's designed to do is to create a level of inspiration and motivation for the players that isn't only solely based on playing every game. It's like, okay, we have an in-season tournament, competitive juices are flowing, sponsorship dollars are flowing, I could get an extra check, that type of thing. So that's what it's designed to do. Will it achieve that? Not gonna be able to do it.
So what do you win? Let's say, I mean, we don't have to get into the weeds of how you structure it or neutral site or is it regular season games that count toward the tournament and all that, but like, what do you win? If you win the midseason tournament, what is the prize?
I believe the goal is to make sure each player that wins gets $1 million.
Okay.
But the one thing about $1 million, so let me use Kawhi Leonard for an example. He's not going to be motivated to play early December games to make $1 million when the Clippers are going to pay him $40 million to play 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change his approach. Now, what that is going to do, though, let me tell you what it's going to do. Listen up, y'all. When LeBron was saying he didn't like the play-in tournament, I was like, he's dead wrong, y'all. That's the greatest thing that happened to the league. He's dead wrong, y'all. LeBron was dead wrong. The play-in tournament, 7 through 11, has created amazing intrigue at the bottom of both conferences.
Yep.
Let me tell you who's going to be excited about the play-in. Players 8 through 15.
The midseason, you mean, yep.
The midseason tournament, let me tell you who's going to be excited about that. Players 8, like a guy like Ish Smith, he's going to be like, yo. What?
You know, the end of the bench is going to get real excited in those games. They're going to be locked in because they're making $1 million. Like a lot of these guys make $1 million.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to double my salary. I'm going to wave all the towels. You need some water? What do you need? Just to help stretching? Let me rebound for you? Whatever you need.
You know what I'm saying? Ish Smith is going to be the MVP of the play-in tournament during the season.
Well, we'll see about the midseason tournament. Mr. Rose, you're in Vegas. I know you attended the Pistons contest yesterday. Give me your takeaway on the environment. What do you think about the Pistons in particular? How was Vegas? What were the vibes?
So as I continue to celebrate the popularity of the NBA as individual players and as a league, how it continues to grow, how it allows their fans to share clips online. If Ja Morant does an amazing dunk, NBA allows you to share that dunk. If Davante Adams makes an amazing catch in the NFL, you can't share that clip. So the popularity of the younger audience in the NBA was on display, and it reminded me when I was at the Summer League, Jacoby, how the NBA has not only secured the support of the younger fans in pole position of sports like baseball, football, MMA, boxing, it also continues to be a global sport. Who's the greatest international football player?
I would say Ronaldo or Messi.
Correct. You didn't say one that played football.
Oh yeah, we've been through this before. I think it's I forgot, is the running back from London that played in the Eagles, Joseph Ajayi?
Correct. My point exactly. So football is an American sport that continues to promote the shield and basically the helmets and the brand sell. In the NBA, the players and the individuality sells. And so whether I'm at a Pacers-Pistons game, whether it's a Oklahoma City versus Magic game where top picks are playing against each other, the individual NBA players' popularity continues to skyrocket. It's incredible the growth that has continued to happen. And also, let me just talk about my Detroit Pistons, for example.
Great.
A player like Cade Cunningham has shown me that investing off the floor, and you saw me talk about it with James Harden now showing clips in the gym, Russell Westbrook at Summer League, Kyrie Irving at Summer League. When people question their investment, they're showing that they're investing off season. Well, I thought about something when you asked me this question. I saw Cade Cunningham lead the Pistons' young group. That's Sadiq Bey. That's
Killian Hayes, Jalen Green.
Killian Hayes. I've seen them at the Hall of Fame when Ben Wallace got inducted. I've seen him at the playoff games when the Heat were playing against the Celtics. I also know that they went to the Bob Lanier tribute, an all-time great Piston player, NBA star, because they're investing in the team, investing in each other, and investing in city. So now when you acquire a player like Marvin Bagley, you hope he's the depressed Sacramento asset that becomes a player. When you draft Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren, you see that they have the chance to be star players. And now the Pistons under Tom Gores, Aaron Tellin, Trey Weaver, Dwayne Casey, you know what we have, Jacoby, that your Knicks don't have? An identity. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen four Knicks in the same place at the same time other than the game?
The game, practice.
You see what I'm saying? And so that's what I saw at Summer League. I saw a team like Detroit putting itself in position to have an identity. A lot of teams going to play basketball this season. Not many are going to have an identity. That's what I saw, and that's what I appreciated. And it was good for me to shake hands, kiss babies, be in the gym, be around the game, and just run into some people who love it just like I do.
I'm disappointed in you, Jalen Rose. You were in Vegas for 24 hours, and you didn't do any weird blackjack. You know what I mean? You didn't do any splitting kings. You didn't sit down at the table.
I know.
And for those listening, we've been through this before, but Jalen Rose is a wild blackjack player. Another thing that people listening know is that Jalen Rose is rich, but he's still betting like 25 a hand. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking over at your hands and my hands, like, why am I betting more than this rich dude right here? I can't afford to lose this.
Well, here's why. Here's what you got to learn. You got to manage your bets. So I'll bet $25 when it's almost like stretching before a workout. I'm easing my way into it.
Seeing how the cards work.
I'm watching everybody's streets be watching, including like why people watching me. You know what I'm saying? And when I start to feel better about it, before you know it, I'm playing two hands. So now that 25 is 50. Yep. And then before you know it, I'm doubling down on each of those hands, and I'm splitting those hands. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? Let's play for 100. Let's play for 500. But not the other way around. I am not sitting at the table with the big bank betting the most at the beginning. That is not how you win in Vegas.
Well, one thing, I like to do marathon sessions, get my free drinks, enjoy myself, go up, go down, go up, go down. But sometimes I leave the table, and I'll be like, I just won $200. That's nice. And then I think to myself, I'm like, I probably tipped about $200 too. You know what I mean? Because if you're there for 4 hours, you hit blackjack, you give a tip, you bet for the dealer sometimes. And sometimes I'm looking back, I'm like, I just gave this dude $200 and I don't even know his name and he didn't even say anything to me. Like, why did I do that? But I also believe that it gives you good luck. It gives you good luck to have the dealer play with you.
It's good karma. It's good karma.
Exactly. Exactly.
The people that's touching the cards, you want them to be thinking, I hope he gets blackjack. I hope I pull a face card on this 10. Not I hope I pull a 6 and a 6 on this 10.
Jalen, I saw something today that's a little concerning. Lamar Odom is going to box again. And this time he's boxing against fake Drake, the guy that looks like Drake. What are we doing here, Jay? What's going on here?
So there's an old song that I'm gonna sing the melody. It went like this. What people do for money? What people do for money? One thing I know about boxing, let me tell you something. If you're gonna get hit upside your head, you're doing it for the money. Don't ever get it twisted. Now, everybody wants and needs money, including Oprah. Don't ever think that if you walking down the street with Oprah and $100 bills on the ground, that she won't push you out of the way to get it. That's how successful people stay successful. But what this sounds and seems like to me is the easiest path to get the biggest check. And if I can stand in the ring, take a couple of body blows and headshots, and somebody gonna put some zeros behind my name, and it's only gonna be like 9 minutes of my life, I gotta consider it. And that's what this sounds like to me.
Sure. Rasheed Wallace went on the Dan Le Batard show, and Andre Iguodala went on the Dan Le Batard show, and he said that if Rasheed Wallace was in today's game, he would be better than Giannis. He said Rasheed Wallace is like the prototype perfect modern-day basketball player. I know you love Rasheed Wallace, but better than Giannis, Jay? Better than Giannis?
I'm going to give you a behind the curtain take that nobody's going to give you about this.
Oh, I love it. I love the pod exclusive behind the curtain
take. This is a pod exclusive. Let me tell you what Andre Iguodala is really saying.
Oh, I like this.
Let me peel back the onion. Let me paraphrase. Let me Missy Elliott. You know what she say? Is it working? Is it working? Put the game down, flip it, and reverse it. Then what did she say?
Exactly.
Hit record. We don't even know. Or when Michael Jackson says, "Mama say, Mama sa, Mama kusa," like hit record. We don't even know what they're saying, right? So here's Andre Iguodala's hit record that he didn't even realize what he's saying that I'm about to give him. What he means is they don't test for weed now. That's all he's talking about. That's it.
Perfect prototype for the modern day basketball player.
That's all he's talking about. The perfect prototype is a guy that can smoke anytime he wants and not get punished. That's all he's talking about.
Good for him. See, we thought that LeBron James was actually talking about people trying to derail him from negativity. Nope, talking about his hairline. We thought Andre Iguodala was talking about Rasheed Wallace being like a stretch big that plays defense and rebounds and rim protects. Nope, he's talking about they don't test for weed anymore. That is why you come to Jalen and Jacoby for the podcast exclusive content. And we need to hear from you on Jalen and Jacoby, not just us. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. We need those voicemails right now. If you're listening to this on Wednesday night or Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, is going to be all voicemails. So call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail, and we'll put you on the show just like this.
What up, Jalen? What up, Jacoby? Shout out, Reg. This is Bill from Philly. This question for Jalen. Time to give the people what they want. People want to know an untold story from the Fab 5 days. Don't get fired. You know, a lot of us seen the documentary, which is fire. But give us an untold Fab 5 story.
Peace. Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. Shout out to Ray Jackson, Jimmy King, Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, my Fab brothers. I got an untold story for you. How about Jimmy knew somebody that worked at a supermarket, a convenience store. It was right next to Taco Bell, where we stopped for some Mexican eating.
That one gets me every time.
And the person that worked behind the cash register would make sure that if we came, we could give her, you know, a couple of dollars, five, 10, 20, whatever we had, and we could basically get whatever we wanted from the store. So we went in there and did that a couple of times, no big deal. But this one time in particular, it seemed like the block was hot and the streets was watching. So we walk in, and for some strange reason that day, I didn't feel it. So I grabbed a newspaper when we walked in. We go back to the coolers. You can see us on camera. My arms are long and they're low, so all you can see is the newspaper in my hand. But for Jimmy and Ray, you can see that they're holding Molson Ices.
Oh.
So we give her $20 or whatever. I think it was Jimmy, Ray, and I. And we walk out the store. Next day, we turn around, police come to practice.
Oh no.
Police come to practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
They ain't there to run drills.
And you wonder why Michigan still ain't trying to give people NIL money. Ooh, should I say that out loud? Oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble. Anyway. So, yeah, and I'm mad at Michigan about that. Yeah, you know what? I'll wait. I said I'm going to wait.
Great restraint, Mr. Rose.
I know we lost two five-star quarterbacks because we didn't want to pay NIL money. But that's, you would think a school that had the Fab Five would be 30 years ahead of this, not 30 years behind this. But that's another subject for another day. So the police come. They like, "Hey, Coach Fisher, we have video footage of a couple of your players stealing from the store. And immediately the players that they were talking about jumps up and like, we wasn't stealing. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't stealing. That was not what that was. We was not stealing in any way, shape, or form. And so we end up going to like a police station, an investigator's office, and they try to get us to recant the story. And I'm like, I don't even remember what I had in my hand. And I don't even know why I said that, right? I was like, I know I had a newspaper. Like, I don't even know what I had. And literally, they showed me the footage of me, fam. All you could see is the newspaper in my hand. You couldn't see the Molson Ice. So Jimmy and Ray got suspended for the Michigan State game, and I didn't. We went and played against Michigan State. All of the fans had the empty cartons of Molson Ice. They was taunting us. And that's why when we beat them, I wiped my butt on the S.
So there's no footage of you wiping your butt on the S, right?
I hope not. I hope not. There shouldn't be. I would not be proud of that footage.
I just imagine you like a dog, like ever seen a dog like wipe his butt on the grass or something?
And I gave it a long like streak too. I did the stanky leg on it too, I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is, I forgot I had to still walk to the locker room. And you know the visual of the Malice in the Palace when the Pacers players was walking to the locker room? That's what Michigan State did to me and us after I wiped my backside on the S. They was throwing coins at me. They was throwing like cans at me, everything. And so that's your Fab Five unfiltered off-wax story. How Jimmy, Ray, and I was going to the convenience store to get Molson Ice and got in trouble that led to those guys missing a game against Michigan State and led to me doing the infamous butt wipe on the S.
Great story. That's why you come to Jalen Jacoby Podcast Exclusive. I have a couple quick notes. You also got a Molson Ice, correct?
I had a whole 12-pack.
Okay, good. And second of all, one thing that reminds me of just how Michigan this is, because an underrated type of beer is Canadian beer. People celebrate Mexican beer, domestic beer, European beer, but the Labatt Blues of the world, the Molsons of the world, like when you get into Michigan in that Midwestern zone, they really appreciate the Canadian lagers, and I do too. Shout to Molson Ice and Labatt Blue, and shout to the Fab Five, and shout to you, Jalen Rose. Always appreciate your candor and the podcast exclusive content that you give to our podcast listeners. We have a podcast tomorrow, right?
Every day we hustling. Every day we hustling.
Why is that?
Like the Blastmaster KRS-One once famously said into a microphone, "We're not done. We're not done. We are not done." Got to give the people.